Good morning. Makkah and Makkah. So today we continue the holy journey with Sister Faustina. Hope that this her journey is our journey also. You know, what she inspired us. Try to live up what she was living. Is it okay? Huh? We take her life as our life. So you're so close to Jesus, especially the Blessed Sacrament. We are all called towards Jesus. So she gave us a way, her way, a simple way, human way. But in touch with Jesus, very important. Now, it's 1938, that's still 1938 in June. Today, the Lord came to me and said, "My daughter, happy to save souls, you will go to a dying sinner and you will continue to recite the tablet. And in this way, you will obtain for him trust in my mercy, for he is already in despair." Only prayer can help. Suddenly, I find myself in a strange cottage where an elderly man was dying amidst great torments. All about the bed was a multitude of demons and the family who were crying. When I began to pray, the spirits of darkness fled with hissing and threats directed at me. The souls became calm and filled with trust, rested in the Lord. So the devil was very angry. We pray, especially for those dying people. Because usually they are weak, and the devil is surrounding them. They want to take hold of them. Once they despair, you know. At the same moment, I find myself again in my room. How did this happen? I do not know. By Lucas. It happened to Father... When also have a stick with the Franciscan, what's the name? Father Pio. Many times, he was sent to someone, visit some family, and then he was in the common. I feel that there is a power which is defending me and protecting me from the blows of the enemy. It guards and defends me. I feel it very distinctly. It is as if I have been shielded by the shadow of his wings. So if we follow Jesus, Jesus protecting us. My Jesus, you alone are good. Even if my heart were to make every effort to write of your goodness, at least in part, I could not do so. This is beyond all our comprehension. Whatever the real thing about Jesus, it's difficult to narrate. One day, during Holy Mass, the Lord gave me a deeper knowledge of His Holiness and His Majesty. And at the same time, I saw my own misery. This knowledge made me happy, and my soul drowned in itself completely in His mercy. I felt enormously happy. On the following day, I had a clear awareness of the following words. You see, God is so holy and you are sinful. Do not approach him and go to confession every day. This is a kind of, I don't know, it's a temptation, you know. One doesn't have to go confession all the time, you know. Just might be a temptation. You're not holy enough. Go. So can be become a bad habit, thinking you're always sinful. Not always true, no? Once you're forgiven, they're forgiven. And the devil is giving you, not yet, not yet, not yet. You know, you're disturbed. Once you're disturbed, not in peace, and then you don't have much energy to pray. Because you're thinking, you're still to ask for Father Ward, Father A, and Father B, and all the confession, morning and evening, afternoon. Can it happen? And indeed, whatever I thought of seemed to me to be a sin, but I did not omit going to Holy Communion, and I resolved to go to confession at that prescribed time, maybe once a week for them, for that time. As I had no clear impediment, but when the day for confession came, I prepared a whole mass of those sins of which I was to accuse myself. However, in the confessional, God allowed me to accuse myself of only two imperfections, despite my efforts to make a confession according to what I had prepared. So, God doesn't see so many sins in us as we see. It's interesting. When I left confessional, the Lord said to me, "My daughter, all those sins you intend to confess are not sins in my eyes. That is why I took away your ability to tell them. You really follow Jesus. He will let you know what to confess, not to confess." Many times people thinking, "Oh, I don't know what to confess." If you're really a saint, you don't have to confess, but trust in the Lord first of all. I understood that Satan wanted to disturb my peace, has been giving me exaggerated thoughts. Oh, Savior, how great is your goodness, you see. Scrupulous, sometimes we are scrupulous about this or about that, and Jesus saved us. One day, when I was preparing for Holy Communion and noticed that I had nothing to offer him, I fell at his feet, calling down all his mercy upon my poor soul. "May your grace, which flows down upon me from your compassionate heart, strengthen me for the struggle and our sufferings, that I may remain faithful to you. And although I'm much misery, I do not fear you, because I know your mercy well. Nothing will frighten me away from you, O God, because everything is so much less than what I know. I see that clearly." This is the end of the sixth book. Now, it's 1938, January 10th. My preparation for Holy Communion. This is Faustina, one of the... So, see how she... This is the last page. Then we may start again from the very, very beginning. We didn't start in the beginning in systematically, no? It's nice to review again. Now, this is the last part of the diary. Preparation for Holy Communion. So see how she prepared for Holy Communion. Not just go and come when nothing happened. "The most solemn moment of my life is the moment when I receive Holy Communion. I long for each Holy Communion, and for every Holy Communion I give thanks to the Most Holy Trinity. If the angels were capable of envy, they would envy us for two things. One is receiving Holy Communion, and the other is suffering. The angels cannot suffer. We can suffer. Two things put together. Close to Jesus and suffer with him on the cross. Together. Today, I'm preparing myself for your coming as a bride, thus for the coming of a bridegroom. He is a great Lord, this bridegroom of mine. The heavens cannot contain him. The seraphim who stand closest to him cover their faces and repeat unceasingly, 'Holy, holy, holy.' The angels dare not watch the face of the Lord covered with their wing, just express, you know, 'This great Lord is my bridegroom. It is to him that the choirs sing. It is before him that the thrones bow down. By his splendor, the sun is eclipsed. And yet, this great Lord, this my bridegroom, my heart desire from this profound meditation on how others adore him, for you no longer have time for that, for he is coming and is already at your door. I go out to meet him. I invite him to the dwelling place of my heart, humbling myself profoundly before his majesty. But the Lord lifts me up from the dust, invites me as his bride to sit next to him and to tell him everything that is on my heart. And I, set at ease by his kindness, leaned my head on his breast, and I tell him of everything. Like St. John the Apostle at the Last Supper, put his head on the chest of Jesus. You do that also. Let us, sister of sinner, do it. Close to Jesus. Let you hear his heartbeat. In the first place, I tell him things I would never tell to any creature. And then I speak about the needs of the church, about the souls of poor sinners, and about how much they have need of his mercy. But the time passes quickly. Jesus, I must go to carry out the duties, and they are awaiting me. Jesus tells me that there is still a moment in which to say farewell, not just to hurry out. When you say goodbye to Jesus, take one more 2 seconds, or just go and just turn your head away. Jesus wants to stay one more seconds with you in the Blessed Sacrament. A deep mutual gaze is important, and seemingly separate for a while. But in reality, we never do. That means Jesus is always with us also. When we leave the chapel, when we leave the church, he's with us. But the kind of being with, that's important, the feeling. Our hearts are constantly united. Though outwardly I was distracted by our various duties, the presence of Jesus plunges me constantly in profound recollection. You too, even what are you doing in the kitchen or in whatever you're doing, stay with Jesus. Jesus is working with you. Today, my preparation for the coming of Jesus is brief, but imprinted deeply with human love. The presence of God penetrates me and sets aflame my love for him. There are no words. There is only interior understanding. I drank complete in God through love. The Lord approaches the dwelling of my heart. After receiving Holy Communion, I have just enough presence of mine to return to my kneeler. At the same time, my soul is completely lost in God, and I no longer know what is going on about me. God gives me an interior knowledge of his divine being. These moments are short but penetrating. The soul leaves the chapel in profound recollection, and it's not easy to distract it. At such times, I touch the ground with only one foot, as it were. No sacrifice throughout such a day is either difficult or burdensome. Every situation evokes a new act of love. I think she suffered most of the time in her life, especially the last days of her life. She suffered. It's always being one with the Lord. Today, I invite Jesus to my heart as love. You are love itself. Our heaven catches the flame from you and is filled with love. And so my soul covets you as a flower yearns for the sun. Jesus, hasten to my heart, for you see that as a flower is eager for the sun, so my heart is for you. I open the calyx of my heart to receive your love. When Jesus came to my heart, everything in my soul trembled with life and with warmth. Jesus, take the love from my heart and pour it out your love. your love, which is burning and radiant, which knows how to bear its sacrifice, which knows how to forget itself completely. So this love of Jesus, no, can help us forget our own self. This Jesus give us the strength to carry our cross, our sacrifice. Today, my day is marked by sacrifice. Today, I prepare for the coming of the King. What am I? Who are you, O Lord, King of eternal glory? O my heart, are you aware of what is coming to you today? Yes, I know, but strangely, I am not able to grasp it. Oh, if he were just a king, but he's the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Before him, all power and dominion tremble. He's coming to my heart today. But I hear him approaching. I go out to meet him and invite him. When he entered the dwelling of my heart, it was filled with such reverence that it fainted with fear. Falling at his feet, Jesus gives her his hand and graciously permits her to take her place beside him. He assures her, saying, "See, I have left my heavenly throne to become united with you. What you see is just a tiny part, and already your soul swarms with love. How amazed will your heart be when you see me in all my glory." So today on earth, she experienced part of paradise, only part of it already. So try to be more close to Jesus. Gaze at him. Have the courage to close to him. Jesus again. But I want to tell you that eternal life must begin already here on earth through Holy Communion. Each Holy Communion makes you more capable of communing with God throughout eternity. That's very, very important. Our paradise started with Holy Communion, receiving Holy Communion. That's very important. Take this point the whole day, especially when we receive Holy Communion. This, Jesus says, when we study theology, you know, we study, or you know, well, the kingdom of God is already arrived, it is already on earth. Well, of course, we are speaking of the church, of course. But actually, Jesus really wants already heaven on earth. It's through his body and blood coming to us. When we just take it, kind, you know, capitulate things, as if nothing happened many times. And worse, Jesus complained once, people receive me as if nothing, seeing me as nothing. How crazy we are. So, thanks, Sister Faustina. We invite her to come with us also for another month after the first Sunday of Holy Week. I mean after the Feast of the Divine Mercy. We invite Faustina to come stay with us the whole month and be close to her and ask her to teach us, encourage us, more love for the Blessed Sacrament. Okay, that we say the chaplet, Divine Mercy.